Well, there seems to be a fifth wave of COVID in the country. That's according to epidemiologist Professor Michael Baker, who joins us from Wellington. Nearly 6,000 confirmed cases and 200 hospitalisations were reported this week by Te Whatu Ora. It's the highest wastewater detection rate since January and the highest hospitalisation figure in 6 months. Michael Baker is with us from Wellington. Tēnā koe, Michael.
Yeah, kia ora, Dale.
Hi, thanks for joining us. And firstly, may I say thanks for all the work that you put in through what was an amazing period in New Zealand's health history, but it appears we haven't got through it. And this fifth wave of COVID, could you speak with us for a moment about what you think is behind what some are calling a surge, Michael?
Yes, well, unfortunately, this virus is still with us, as we all know. It's not like an influenza pandemic that comes through in a few weeks and then goes again. This virus has never left us since early last year when Omicron hit, and we all know about that. And it looks like now it appears as a series of waves, so you get these peaks and troughs. And we had our fourth wave at the start of the year, and now it seems to be in our fifth wave. And that means it's gone from fairly uncommon to suddenly being everywhere. And I think most of us now know people who got this infection at the moment or have had it recently. But we also have, as you said, the data. And increasingly, the wastewater testing gives us a very good idea because that doesn't depend on human behaviour. It's just testing sewage water, and it picks up the virus. And it tells us a lot about trends. So we had a big peak, obviously, at the start of the year, and then another in April. And now we're seeing the highest numbers really for this year to date. So it is just a warning that we need to take more precautions at the moment.
Is eradication of COVID impossible?
It is at the moment with the tools we've got. But it could all change in the future if we got a vaccine that was more effective. I mean, this vaccine and the boosters are good at stopping you getting seriously ill and dying, probably reduces your chance of long COVID as well. But it, unfortunately, it doesn't stop transmission of the virus, as we learned quite early on. So if we had a vaccine more like measles vaccine, which is extremely effective, I mean, two doses of measles vaccine and you'll never get the infection for the rest of your life and you don't pass it on. I mean, that's the dream vaccine that we'd love to have for COVID.
Long COVID is still relatively misunderstood. I've heard of people who have been debilitated for many, many months, if not years, Michael. How far down the track are we in understanding the implications of the term long COVID?
Yeah, well, look, there's still a huge amount to know about it. I mean, how severe, how long it lasts, what can you do about it? So we don't have answers to the really big questions yet. I mean, we know it's real. There's no question about that. Perhaps 10% to 20% of people will have symptoms that extend beyond 3 months. But how long they last, well, we're still learning about that, and it will take perhaps years to know the full effects. But remember, it's not just the infection. It's also the fact that we get a very strong immune response to the infection, and that saves our lives. But that immune response can also damage our tissues as well. So the big message is you just don't want to get this infection over and over again. And I think that's important for people to know that. And there's some evidence that the second and third and fourth infections for some people are worse than the first infection. So it's not like it's making us stronger each time we get this infection. It may be the opposite. So that's why we're saying when we see a surge of cases like now, people should take it seriously. And I think all of your listeners know, and I'm almost sick of saying the obvious, but get your booster up to date. I mean, only about half of adults 50 and over have had their second booster. You know, that's their fourth dose. And so that means a lot of New Zealanders are missing out on this really useful protection. And it's free and it really does work. So I think that's the number one measure for people at the moment.
There appears to be a feeling on the street that COVID is just like another flu. Is that a dangerous observation?
Oh, very much so. I mean, this is by far our most serious infectious disease killer at the moment. I mean, this year, we think by the time the year finishes, it may have killed around 1,000 people. and put about 10,000 people in hospital. And there's nothing else doing that in New Zealand at the moment. I mean, it's at least twice as many deaths as we're seeing with influenza, probably more. So, yeah, it's not an infection to take lightly.
As far as people identifying with COVID, are they self-reporting, or do you think many people are just staying home hoping for it to pass, and so the authorities really don't know of it, bar this wastewater testing that you refer to?
That's exactly right. And I think since the subsidy scheme for supporting time off work was removed, along with the other restrictions in mid-August, we've seen the self-reporting results dropping off, but the wastewater results are shooting up at the moment. So I think that people are a little less, or quite a bit less, likely to self-test. Hopefully, people are still isolating at home, because that's still the best thing you can do to avoid infecting your family and friends and workmates and classmates and everyone else. I don't think employers want you coming to work and infecting everyone at work and the customers as well. So hopefully they're really encouraging people to take sick leave when they have symptoms. So that's still really important. And the other two things to think about, particularly now that we're moving into the Christmas period, when you're meeting people socially and you've got work parties and so on, is to try and shift these into really well-ventilated places, like covered areas outdoors, and perhaps having barbecues instead of indoor parties, that sort of thing. And the other measure that's, again, hopefully people know about, is if you are in a crowded indoor place like a bus or a train, if you're a commuter, that really is the time to wear a mask, because the ventilation is very poor in that environment.
I was at an event last night, was surprised to see somebody sitting along the way from me masked up, but that's their prerogative. Look, we predominantly Māori listenership, Michael, and when the waves hit and there was difficulty getting communications through to many of our people, Māori sort of took it upon ourselves to try and address that with different tactics. It seemingly worked, but I wonder whether this latest data has any ethnic side to it, and what you might say of whether our people are perhaps more vulnerable than other ethnicities in this latest fifth wave.
Yes, good question. I haven't seen a breakdown by ethnicity, but we do know, whether this is really going back a few months, that when we looked at the risk of hospitalisation and death by ethnicity, it was markedly higher for Māori and Pacifica, and that's even after you adjust for differences in the age distribution. So, yes, I mean, this is unfortunately a disease that is having a worse impact on Māori and Pacific people in New Zealand, and also people with long-term conditions is one of the big factors. So, yes, it's very important for your listeners to take precautions if they do, particularly if they do have long-term conditions.
And of course, we tend to have larger families and perhaps live in closer quarters, so the spread could be more dramatic.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, one of the issues now is that this virus is so transmissible that a lot of the transmission happens outside the home, and it's in social meeting places, you know, parties and classrooms and workplaces, where people are spending a lot of time in close proximity, often to people outside their whānau. So that is really how the virus jumps from household to household.
Do you think that there is also an ambivalence towards the vaccination program, having been there and done that? Some say, oh, I'm not going back to do that again. And even though you're recommending booster shots, particularly for our over 50s, might there be some hesitancy still in communities?
Oh, I think so. I mean, hesitancy and complacency, I mean, a bit of disinformation going around, but look, there's no question that you're much better off if you meet this virus to be vaccinated. It's much better than even having the infection before. This really does protect you in the best possible way without all the risks. So I would really get be as up to date as possible. I mean, now many people, say people like myself, have had our fifth dose or our third booster, and I think I just feel so much safer knowing I've had that.
Dan Ockwey, wouldn't you look back, and I guess we'll have time to do a complete review, but out of 10, how do you rate our country's response and ongoing response?
Well, I think it's close to a 10, and we've just written a lot about this, and New Zealand has remarkably still has negative excess mortality. And that sounds a bit complicated, but it's basically saying it's as though we never had the pandemic at all, because we've really protected New Zealanders so well that the excess mortality is lower, it's less than zero. In other words, we've actually saved lives over the last 3.5 years, almost 4 years, during the pandemic. We're the only country of any size in the world that's done that. So really, we should congratulate our leaders and congratulate ourselves, because we have really responded to this pandemic extremely well.